freedom that I want to talk to you about. All the kings, all the rule that they have, 800 AD, lots of history. Yesterday, whole weekend, we are celebrating this thing called independence from England and the tyranny, of man. And we are very thankful. We live in a country where we raise our families. We want to raise them. We can serve God the way we want to serve. Right? We're very privileged in that wise, but this freedom is for this body. I'm very thankful for. I'm glad I have food. I'm glad. Even though some of them may be wrong. Nonetheless, I'm very thankful that we have this freedom and that people find. Okay? But I'm here to preach not about our flesh, what makes us. He just talked. And he's been talking about these messages about how to serve. Let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but what did he do? He took upon himself the form of servant. And I hope today you're going to see what you okay? In order to understand, I got to lay some groundwork, I believe, to understand what tyranny is and what true freedom is. And whether or not in your own heart and mind, are you a tyrant? Right? Well, you may not think you're a tyrant, but how you think could make you a tyrant, literally. I want to examine some of these things. I want to show you and give you the knowledge to make you understand. This will help you overcome so many thoughts and struggles that you go through. Okay? I'm in the book of Mark 10:35, and I have given this a title, this message, called Pierced, Free to Serve. Right? Mark 10:35, it says this, and James and John, sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee, came unto Jesus, saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we desire. Pretty bold. Jesus, do unto us whatever I ask you. And I think some people think that that's what freedom is. You're able to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Right? You're free in America to murder if you'd like. Right? That's not free. Right? We're trying to get to this knowledge of understanding. It's whatever you want, however you think. Do whatever your heart tells you. Well, the heart is deceitful. Above all things and desperately, you don't want to trust your heart. You want to trust, and that's what the heart says. Whatever I want. This is another thing that the freedom is. When someone hits me, I'm going to hit them back. Right? There's a mindset. What people think, I desire. Do what feels good, right? Your own agent, so to speak. Do whatever you desire, right? And this is what they're asking him, Jesus. Give us, do for us whatever we desire. And Jesus doesn't really rebuke them. He is just going to find out what's in their heart, right? And he's going to ask them what's in their heart. If you want to know where people are in life, just let them speak. Just talk for a while. You know why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If they're a covetous person, you're going to eventually hear it in their speech. Let your speech be without covetousness. Most, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. You shouldn't be always saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, right? This isn't free. I want to get into this in a little bit, right? And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Right? And they said unto Jesus, grant unto us that we may sit. This is the greatest request you could ever ask. Grant me that when you come into your kingdom, this isn't on the earth even, this is in the kingdom to come. That James is on the left and John is on the right. We're right there with you, ruling with you, right? And he says, man, you don't know what you're asking. Now, this is given to somebody to have this position. Say it's for who it's prepared. Right? But then he says this, are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with? This isn't water and spirit baptism. This is suffering. He's about to be baptized in suffering. That's dipped and immersed in suffering. That's what the word baptism means, to bury, to dip, submerge. And he's about to be baptized into a great baptism, a great death, a great passion, a great suffering. And you know what they said? Pretty bold guys, these two are. That's why they're the sons of thunder. We can. We will. And by golly, they will. They are going to do it. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that should betray him, right? And who were his and who were not. And he said, we can. And Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. Here's part of freedom coming right now, to understand what you're made for, to understand the purposes of God in your life. And you're going to get the baptism that I'm baptized with, shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it's prepared, right? On my notes here, because if I don't, I will go into so many tangents. You will be like, where is he going? And when the other 10 disciples heard it, right? They were displeased with James and John. Why? Because James and John, I don't think, were spiritual enough right now. Why? Because they weren't converted yet. This is more of a fleshly desire of theirs. And the others were very displeased with James and John, that they'd want to take this position onto themselves, right? And this is where tyranny is born. Wanting something for yourself, for your own gain and your own power. And are we that way in the gospel? Right? We got to ask ourselves these things. But Jesus called them over, and he's going to set this straight. Right? He talks to all 12 of them now and says unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And we're not supposed to be lord, Scripture says. If you're a pastor, you are not supposed to be lord over God's heritage. But you're supposed to lead by example. You're not supposed to be a control freak. And I say that in the sense of all aspects of life. You should not be a control freak having to have everything your way. The world does not revolve around you. Right? But let it not be so amongst you. Right? And he's now talking, and we've been learning about it the last couple of messages, about servitude. Right? And when you start understanding tyranny, there are thoughts that come with it. I don't think anybody that was a king in England decided that I'm going to be a tyrant. Most of them get led into that by the power that's given to them. Right? 1 Samuel 8, we're taking you there. And it says this, it came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Mind you, Samuel is the last judge. There's judges that ruled over Israel, and the judges, whenever they prayed to God, God would answer them. Then they would turn their hearts back to the world, and then he would send a judge, and the judge would help them turn them back to God. It was a vicious cycle, right? Now, the name of Samuel's firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. Sometimes that's just the way it happens in life. Your children may not walk in the ways of the Lord. We pray for them, right? We hope that that's the case, but it may not always be the case. And when they turned aside after lucre, money, and we know what money is, the love of it, not money itself, but the love of it is the root of all evil and all tyranny and all pride and all lust. And took bribes and perverted judgment. Right? Oh, this is a huge thing as a king, right? You can't pervert judgment. You can't take bribes. Judgment is slack. That's why when you go to Washington, D.C., Lady Justice there, she's got a blindfold on. Why? Because it's supposed to be blind. Right? It's not supposed to get your own thoughts and feelings into how you're judging the matter. Right? Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah. Said unto him, behold, you're old. Your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us. Dangerous thoughts that the people of God are having. Make people to rule over us. And why would you want a king to rule over you? Because he's the one who's going to give us everything we need. It's a mindset. It's our modern day handout system where you don't have to work for anything. You just have to give it to you by the king, and the king's going to take care of us. And the kings is what was set up by all the nations, right? But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and this is what the Lord had to say about kings. Hearken, Samuel, unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, right? The mindset. And the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, I want you to just protest to the people. Don't convince them totally. I want you to tell them all the things that this king's going to do to them. Right? But I don't want you to convince them because I want the people to have their king. Why? To probably show the king of kings eventually. Right? And he says this, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. I'm on verse 11, thanks, there we go. He's going to take your sons. He's going to appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. Some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And he'll set them to work his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and his instruments of chariots. And he's going to take your daughters to be confectionaries. This is not Door County confectionery fudge. This is female perfume makers. Confectionery is in Scripture. They're going to have to make the odors. They're going to be your cooks. You're going to be their bakers, right? And he's going to take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to your servants. And he's going to take the tenth. He's going to take your tithes. He's going to take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. If we are tithing, we better be given the right way, right? Your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. You're not free, right? This king that's over you, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king which you have chosen. The Lord will not hear you in that day. These are very powerful things of how tyranny is born, right? When you give someone that kind of power, that's what he's going to do. That's man. They want to rule. They want to exercise lordship, right? It's no different today. I'm not very political. I don't like talking about politics, but it doesn't matter what political affiliation you have. It's no different for any political affiliation. So here's God giving direction way before Samuel's time to Moses, saying this is how a king should rule. And now I'm going to start comparing kings and God's direction for kings and rulers to how you as a human being right now, not only a pastor, me, but also just you as just the common man, need to think to have true freedom. Right? Deuteronomy 17:14 says this, when you're coming to the land which the Lord God's going to give, right, and shall possess it, and you're going to dwell there, and you're going to say, I will set a king over me. See, it's prophesied way back. Like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set the king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over you, not thy brother. He shall not multiply horses to himself. So now the Lord's going to give direction to a king. Do not multiply horses to yourself. Right? He wants you not to be using your position as a ruling over someone. Right? And he says this, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Oh man, I got to stop there. Freedom and Egypt. Egypt is where they were slaves. They were delivered from Egypt. But in the wilderness experience, they had nothing but desires to go back. And today you're actually having preachers and churches and entire religions that preach you to go back to Egypt and you don't even know it. Right? Here's some depth to that, right? Let's go to Exodus 16:2. It says this, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Understanding what makes freedom is not about this. Your flesh. This is not where you got to think freedom is. Freedom is up here. What Jodan just said before I got up here. In your mind and in your heart and how you perceive what that is. Here they are, it's fleshly, right? Oh, I wish we would be back in Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots, oh, the brats, hamburgers, steaks, hot dogs. Just call it what it is, the flesh pot. The barbecue is the flesh pot. And when we did eat bread to the full, we were so full. And guess what? I live in America, kind of like Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips because I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I hate this, but I'm a product. I am a product of the hot dogs, the brats, the hamburgers. And I honestly pray about that. We did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness. And I believe that everyone needs a wilderness experience. I believe you, this doesn't mean that you should go seek for it. It will come to you, trust me. But it's this experience of learning to trust in the Lord without the influence of the man that rules over you. To kill this whole assembly with hunger. Another scripture, Numbers 11:4. Please tell me if you think I'm going too long. I could preach all day. Mixed multitude, 11:4, that was among them, fell a-lusting. The children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh? We remember the fish. Now we're moving to seafood, right? We're moving to seafood, which we did eat in Egypt, and here's the word, freely. Whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, we had all the stuff there to eat. Our flesh was provided for, right? The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. This is what they wanted to go back. And you have preaching today. They're all over the place. They're called prosperity preachers. And they preach to you that this is the blessing of God, who think that gain is godliness. From such, turn away. And they've got God all screwed up, and they got freedom all screwed up. Right? They don't understand what God is doing and how he does it and why they're even in the wilderness and why they had to go this 40 years in a not direct direction. And why was he taking them in this wilderness? Sorry, I'm trying not to get worked up. Why was he taking them in this wilderness? Because he was out there to prove them whether or not they would serve him or this. cucumbers and whatever else I can get from this life. Talking yourself into these things that this is not free. You start to begin to understand what free is. And we're getting there. Please let me lay this groundwork for you today. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this. And there was so much manna that it was literally coming out of their ears. That's what the Lord said he's going to do because of their complaining. It's going to come out of your ears. You don't want me? I'll make it come out of yours. And while it was in their mouths, he slew, it says, the fattest of them. Right? There's an understanding to God. We desire, this is true freedom, the hidden manna. Manna is the bread of life. We desire the word of God. I'm giving you some clues here of true freedom. Right? The manna. And we shouldn't be complaining if we have just the manna. That's all we need. We sometimes sing a song here. If it's the only word I hear, then I've heard it all. What's that song? What's that song called, Sarah? What a God. This is a mindset that you should have. To have food and raiment to be content. That's about it. You don't need all this other stuff to be free. Right? We're losing. Honestly, some of the pastors in this world, remember the commandments to the king? Don't let them return the people to Egypt. There are a lot of pastors out there, it says this, that promise liberty, right? But they themselves are servants of corruption. And Jodan spoke it very clear today. Whatever you do, if you sin, that's who your master is. Right? And we're going to get into that in a little bit, right? They're the servants of corruption. And they turn the grace of God, the Bible says, into lasciviousness. That lasciviousness there is usually unbridled lust, but that it actually also means a license to sin. I'm telling you what a true preacher is supposed to do. He's supposed to present you perfect before the Lord. That's his purpose. And you can be without sin. Tell you that right now. That's where the Lord is taking the church. This is not by us. This is his work. This is where the church is headed. And judgment's beginning in the house of God to bring this to pass. And we need to hear as a church in general more preachers that preach against sin and point the way to the way to be without sin. If we have sin, it's our master. People automatically, and I didn't think I was going to go here, but people automatically start saying, Mark, are you saying that we're perfect? And I'm going to say, yes, with some understanding. Some understanding. But that's for another day, okay? Back to Deuteronomy and the king and how the Lord wanted him to rule. Back to Deuteronomy 17, I'm at verse 16. To the end that the king, should not multiply horses. Going back to Egypt, wanting things for yourself. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, shall henceforth return no more that way. Don't go back to Egypt in your mind, thinking that's freedom, thinking that's the blessing of God. Right? Don't be Lot's wife. What did she do? Look back. Look back to how she thinks it should be, or what her life was, or what her life could have been. You only live once. Well, if you're a Christian, you will live once and you will live forever. So don't worry about this little light time of affliction that you might have. Neither shall you multiply wives to yourself. Why? This is not intended by the Lord that David and Solomon would have all these wives. He says, he's saying it right here. You shouldn't multiply wives to yourself. Why? Because your heart will turn away. And that's exactly what happened to Solomon. But people who justify polygamy, they're absolutely wrong in that mindset because the Lord said what it's going to do to you. Neither shall he multiply greatly to himself silver and gold. It shall be. Now remember, turning your heart back to Egypt, don't multiply to yourself silver and gold. What does it say in scriptures to a man that is rich? I'm not condemning someone being rich, but what does it say to the rich? Teach the rich to distribute, that their hearts get not turned away by riches. How hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, right? And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. This is the commandment to the king. Get a copy of the book. Read it. Even Paul says to Timothy, give yourself to reading, exhortation, doctrine. You want to know Jesus Christ, and you want to know, and you look at me and you say, man, he quotes a lot of scriptures. If you want to quote scriptures and have the word of God as your sword in your life, read. That is all it takes. Have a heart to go in, Lord, I need to understand this word, that I could have wisdom, that I could lead my family and my life in righteousness and in truth. Well, read, give yourself to it, and it will become a part of you. Right? And when it becomes a part of you, you get wisdom on how to exercise yourself in this matter and this matter. And right now, I'm exercising myself in the matter of what is freedom. And I want to talk what the Word of God says about freedom, that you may learn to fear the Lord. This just doesn't come naturally. You have to learn to fear Him. You have to understand what He is. That all power belongs to Him. That He's made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. This is a powerful God. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes. That's the mindset of the what the Lord wanted out of the king. And if he did that, he would be well. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. Like the rivers of the south, you know, a river around like that. That's what he does with the king's heart. He turns it wherever he wants it to go. He does the same with us. Turn us onto thee, O Lord, and what? We shall. So now I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 7:20, and I'm trying to lay out this principle of freedom. I'm close to doing the groundwork. We're going to get into the bang. 1 Corinthians 7:20. I'll just start with what it first says. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now there's two ways you could be called by God. One is you are living a tough life. You had an abusive husband. You had an abusive father. You were always being told what to do. You had no rest. Everyone was over you. You had no freedom whatsoever in your life. And the Lord called you out in that spot. And you know how he's going to speak to someone in that spot? He's going to speak to them as a free man. And the Lord says this, when someone is bound by all of these things, and we're all bound in the beginning to something. Sin, whether it's sin or whatnot. But here I'm talking about people that are bound to being a slave, so to speak, mindset. They're under people. They're under a beckoning call of someone all the time. So the Lord's going to talk to them as his free man. You're my free man now. You don't have to be bound by that stuff, right? And he says this, take my yoke. So he doesn't say that you're free totally. You're never, ever free totally. That is a principle in the Word of God. You're either serving one master or another, right? No man can serve two masters. So you're free. So he brings you, take my yoke upon you. But this is how he starts talking, because my yoke is easy. It's easily to be entreated, right? My yoke is easy, and my burden, it's light. You're my free man now. Remember how you were called. Now live in that. And that's what God becomes to people who have been in a tough situation in their life. He becomes their free man, my hope, my deliverance. There's also another way some people are called out, and this is me, and I would say the majority of America. People who have lived in freedom. They have everything at their disposal. I mean, guys, seriously. You want to go eat. You walk to Pickens, Metro Market, Kroger, whatever they're called now, and you walk into the doors and we're at the fruit section. Plums, pears, peaches, pineapple, apples, all laid out for you. Water dripping on it, ready so there's no bugs, and you have freedom. This is how America is. Very blessed, spoiled, whatever word you want to use for it, right? We have so much provision in America. Am I thankful for it? Absolutely. But it could also be our downfall. Right? And we have all these things, and we are born into freedom. We don't know an enemy attacking us, at least in my lifetime. We have September 11th, which is really not an enemy in my opinion. Nonetheless, we have no nation that's come and invaded us and taken us captive and hearing a strange speech in our land. They come, but nonetheless, we are all blessed. We are like the Lord's. We're free. When the Lord calls you out in that spot, what are you expecting you to be? You need a slave mentality now. That's how you got to think. You have freedom all around you. And the Lord, when he calls you out, he wants you to be a slave in your thoughts. That sit over well, but let's read it. Aren't you called a servant? Care not for it, but if you may be free, use it rather. Meaning if you're called out as being a slave, use freedom rather, and make the Lord your freedom, right? He that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free, called when you were free, is the Lord's servant. There it is. You're supposed to be thinking that you are a servant. Which you are. This is the mindset that's going to help you overcome so many things in life. Brethren, you are bought with a price. You are not your own. You're not free. You are not your own. You were bought. Who do you think you were bought from? Well, the Lord sold man, Scripture says, to the devil when man sinned. And he bought them back again. Right? This is the Kingsman Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. That's what he does. He buys his people back. We are bound and even debtors to him, the Scripture says. We are bought, and we're bought with a price. Everybody knows what the price is. What is it? The blood of Jesus Christ, a great price. Be not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he's called, therefore, abide with God. This is what I'm going to try to start telling you, is that this mindset of being a servant to God, which Jodan has preached three straight messages, I'm preaching it again in a different way, is actually the freedom of God. To understand that you are a servant. You are bought with a price. You need to conform yourself to him. And the thoughts that you run wild where you actually become a tyrant in your own mind, you need to bring those under captivity to subjection to the will of God. Captivity? I thought I was free. You are when you bring things into captivity. Let's go on with these thoughts a little more. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. And when you think of fornication in scriptures, most people think of it as a sexual sin, which it is. But fornication is much deeper in the scriptures. We're going to get into this in a minute. Every man that does it is without the body. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? I love when Paul does that. What? Don't you know this? That's kind of what he's saying when he says, what? What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And you just can't let the temple of the Holy Ghost do whatever it wants. Freedom! That's not freedom, guys, in the scriptures. Which you have of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have got, and you are not your own. Here we go again. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do I do that? By bringing thoughts into captivity. Imaginations. Bring them down. I'm going to read a very important scripture, Hebrews 12:14 here. Understand what fornication is, right? In the New Testament. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man, and this is an important thing, fail the grace of God. Now, how do you fail the grace of God? Well, the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us that we should deny worldly lust. What is the grace of God that has appeared unto all men? He bought you back to God. The cross is a work and grace given to all men. Right? And you can fail that grace. How would you do that? Well, let's go on. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up and troubles you, and many be defiled. You know how you can fail the grace of God? When you're a tyrant. You know how you're a tyrant? When you think you're entitled to how people should treat you. Well, they did this to me, and they did that to me. And they did this, and I'm offended in that, and offended in them. Don't they know this about me, that I don't like that? I didn't know that you were entitled to be treated a certain way. You would like to be treated a certain way. I like to be treated a certain way. And common sense should tell everybody that you should be treated a way, but that's not how the world works. In so much that David was sent a man by God himself to curse him. Why? To make him what he's supposed to be. And that's what suffering and troubles are supposed to do. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. Arm yourself with this mind. What is the mind? That Jesus, right? This is the mind, suffered in the flesh. That you should also have this mindset that you're supposed to suffer in the flesh. And when you have this mindset of suffering, that it's not something that's strange. Think it not strange of the fiery trial, which is to try you. It's not strange. My mind is realizing it's not strange. And when I get bitterness in me, it's because I think I should be entitled to how someone should treat me. But if you have in your mind that that's just how what happens sometimes, that God himself even will do it and bring things to test you, try you, and prove you. It's a mindset. And this is true freedom. You know why? Because if I have bitterness in me, I'm bound to bitterness. I want to overcome bitterness. And the best way to overcome bitterness is to not think of yourself that you should be entitled to any way of getting blessed in that regard. Just expect it. And when it comes, pray for them that despitefully use you. Turn the other cheek. It's the law of Christ. That's true freedom. When someone hits you on the face, give them the other side to hit. That is not freedom, people will tell me. But I tell you that it is. Because if you can turn the other cheek, if you can pray for those that despitefully use you and those that abuse you, you pray for them, right? You will not have bitterness. And if you don't have bitterness, many won't be defiled. It's a mindset to how you think. I actually expect people to treat me badly. Maybe it's my fault. I'll give them that. Okay. I know who I believe. Right? Lest there be an iron back to the fornicator. Any fornicator. Who, or profane person, and he's calling Esau this fornicator, Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright? It's a mindset. See, this is, he sold out. This is the beginning gospel message. Count the cost. Whether you have enough to finish this race. Right? This is the cost. You may go hungry. What shall separate us from the love of God, Paul says? Shall hunger? Shall persecutions? Shall people saying bad things about me? Shall this or that? I'm convinced that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Right? You got to expect you may be naked. You may go through suffering. You may go through tribulation. It's appointed for us to suffer tribulation, Scripture says. And all that are godly will suffer persecution. Right? In your mind, this will make you free. I mean that. This is freedom. Not here. This is not free when that's all happening, but this is what people endured in concentration camps. They had to talk to themselves. You talk to yourself when someone hurts you. I know it's not easy. Mark, maybe you've never been hurt like I have. Maybe not. The principle still holds true. Talk to yourself. God, you put this in my life for a reason. What are you trying to teach me? Refine me. Put me in the fire. I'm going to come forth as what? Gold. This light affliction of this earth is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Or am I? Fornicator. Here I'm going to quote the scripture to you, Sarah, at 2 Corinthians 10. Cast down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God. Bring into captivity. That's not a free word, captivity. Bring your thoughts, not free. You remember, you're the Lord's servant now. Paul called himself a prisoner of the Lord. To the obedience of Christ. Oh, nobody likes that word anymore. Obedience? Who do you think I am? I'm not going to obey my husband. I'm going to obey this. I'm not going to listen to you. Trample authority all over the streets. Say anything you want to say. Think you can do anything you want to do. And you call that freedom. That's not freedom. That's sin and bondage. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. How? When your obedience is fulfilled. Oh, I love that. Sarah, I'm ready for that picture. I want to take you to Deuteronomy 15. And I'm going to show you when Lord buys you with his price, what he actually is doing. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a law that when a man purchased a slave for himself, he worked for him for 6 years. And on the seventh year, he had to give them the ability to go free. Right? Even in the law, even in slavery, there was a room and a provision to not overdo it with someone. Right? And if the guy said to himself, I'm going to read it here, the master he's talking to first in verse 15, thou shalt remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, masters, and the Lord thy God redeemed you. Therefore, I command thee this thing today, and it shall be, if the servant says unto you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house. Slavery wasn't always a bad thing. Now, I'm not preaching slavery, but please don't hear me that way. But in this time, it was not always a bad thing. Here, how do I know that? Because the slave here wants to be with his master. The master treated him really good because he is well with thee. Then you shall take an awl, we can put the picture up, and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be your servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant do this likewise. Here it is. That is an awl. That little tool there, and there's the doorpost, and there's the ear, and there we put a nail in there to show what it is that you are bound now to your master forever and ever and ever. He has no chance now to go free. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go free from the Lord. I am a prodigal son that was better in my father's house. My father took care of me. He loves me. He cares for me. It's well with me in my father's house, right? And I'm going to stay there forever, and I want my ear pierced. This is the piercing ear that you should have. I'm going to be the servant of the Lord forever. Do you want to be the servant of the Lord forever? I do. I don't want to go free from the Lord to be free, little birdie. I want to be bound to the Lord, a slave to the Lord. I have all these freedoms in this world, and I want to be bound to him in my mind and in my heart, bringing things into captivity to him, to his honor and his glory. Now, some people didn't even accept deliverance that they might get a better resurrection. They didn't accept being delivered by God. No, they counted themselves worthy to suffer like he suffered. Oh, that's a mindset. God is not your sugar daddy. He's not there just to give you whatever you want. He's your God, your master, your savior. He purchased you with his own blood. Let's have our minds transformed into this way of thinking. Because if you think this, you are going to overcome a lot of problems in this world. It's going to be water off your back, so many things, instead of struggling with what people think of you all the time. Who cares what people think of you? I'm spitting a lot. I don't care. I'm kidding. I do care. And all. And he was pierced. It brings me to Psalm 40, verse 6. This is the time where the Lord was pierced. And he became servant to his father forever. It says this, Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do your will, oh my God, true freedom. True freedom. I delight to do your will. If it's to lay down my life for my friends, I want to delight to do that. Yea, the law is written within my heart. Do you know what that word opened means? My ears hast thou opened? It is a Hebrew word called kara, and it means to dig or bore open. He opened the Lord's ears, dug into there, and made him a servant forever. When the Lord was pierced in his side, out came blood and water. This is the piercing of us to make us his forever. The born-again experience. The Lord was pierced in his side to fulfill that part of the law. His servant forever. No more burnt sacrifices for my salvation. I am the sacrifice. This is your mindset too. I don't need this and that to make myself holy. Oh, if I just have this different in my life or this different in my life. You're the sacrifice. You just do what's required of you, and God will work in you. He will make you to himself, and you will be free in your mind and in your heart. Don't you want that? Then have a mindset that you are the sacrifice. I've come to do your will. I lay my life down for the sheep. No greater love is any man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Serve one another. You will be free. You are pierced to God. Oh. The writer of Hebrews quotes this in Hebrews 10, quotes this Psalm 40, this act of the Lord. And he says, wherefore, when he comes into the world, Jesus, he says, sacrifice and offering you would not. This wasn't in the book of Psalms. The Hebrew writer added it. But a body thou hast prepared. And the body was going to be the sacrifice. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. Serve the Lord by actually doing what he says. Because he even says, you're my disciples indeed, if you do what's commanded of you. Remember the servant mindset. Then said I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. And he goes on to quote the rest of Psalm 40, right? But he says this, a body thou hast prepared me. And guess what? A body he's prepared you. You're to be the sacrifice to God right now. Your life is a sacrifice unto him. Remember when Jesus was submitting his will to the Father, his ears were pierced, bore through, my ears has to open. That people say, well, he heard the Lord. That's more of fulfilling the scriptures, if you ask me. He was nailed there forever. He's now a servant forever. Therefore, a highly given unto him. Greatest name of all, right? Because of what he did. He's above everything else because of that servitude. This is freedom. Guys, this is freedom. I'm telling you, you'll be spared from so much sorrow by just believing these things. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies a living sacrifice. You are the sacrifice to God. You need to be what? Pierced. You've got to be pierced. And that's a mindset of you to say, yes, I'm going to do this, God. I have a chance to go free from you, but I don't want to go free. I want to be bound with you forever. Do this in your heart and in your mind. Present now your bodies. That's the piercing of you. Give yourself to him. Holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Here's a mindset. The disciples wanted faith increased. What they said, increase our faith. In Jesus' story, Jesus told them to increase their faith. Well, all right, I'll tell you a story. You guys are out working in the field, and you're working all day long. Right? And when you come into the field, I'm your master, I'm at the table. I don't want you serving yourself until you serve me. This is increasing faith. When you come into the house, you should say, I'm going to serve the Lord instead of myself. I'm tired. I'm wore out. And you know what? Take this in your mind now. I have to give the Lord quality time every day. If I don't serve him in some capacity, some way, I am going to get weak. My faith is going to dry up. This is increasing faith, right? And it says, when you serve me afterward, does he thank the servant because he served him? The old English says, I trow not. I don't think so. He's not going to thank you that you served him. He's God. He doesn't need us, right? He doesn't thank you. And what you're supposed to say, this is scripture. We have done that which was our duty to do. We are unprofitable. Wow, this is deep stuff. This is increasing your faith. It's a mindset that you are a servant to him. Amen? I don't know if this is liberating or if this is condemning. If it's condemning, maybe you should rethink how you think God. It's not supposed to be condemning. It's supposed to lift you up. Meaning that you don't have to be bound. Be a servant. It's okay to suffer. It's okay to go through things. You don't have to show everybody that it's always perfect. That the Lord is always delivering you. The Lord doesn't always deliver. He leaves people in spots to test, try, and prove. It's okay. We all go through it. I was sick last week like he was sick. It's life. When I went to Europe, I got a phone call. Your coworker that you've known so well just jumped out of a four-story building and committed suicide. Things happen in life. But I know all this sorrow is going to go away. I know he's going to wipe all tears from all eyes, and this little affliction is not worthy of what's coming. When I came this morning, Karen told me about the fire that she was going to see, and that she's thinking about the Milky Way and all that God has in store for us. Yes and amen. We're pressing towards that mark. We're strangers and pilgrims. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient even to the death of the cross. You have not resisted and strived unto that kind of blood yet. You haven't gone through what so many people have gone through. You're encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses.
So I'm sorry. You're encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses of people that have gone through way worse.
How do we do this? Greatest way to do this, and this is where I'm closing up. The most misunderstood two chapters in the Bible, if you ask me. I don't think people understand Romans 7 and Romans 8. I'm going to try to help you to understand what I think they mean. Romans 7, verse 1. Remember, when I talk to you about this, it's in the context of how you can tell yourself and talk yourself into what true freedom is. Know ye not, Paul is writing this, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. This chapter is speaking to people who know the law, who are in the law. Remember, we are not justified by the law, but by faith. So this is something that is before faith. All right? That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh... Paul is speaking about people in the flesh in this chapter. He's not speaking about people in the spirit in this chapter. He's speaking about people that were in the flesh. The motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Here's the servant that you're under in Romans 7. Flesh, the law, and death. There is no sin without the law. The strength of sin is the law. Right? Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, and here's the word, sold under sin. What do you think the Lord bought you from? You were sold under sin, carnal. Carnal means worldly. This is not where you are supposed to be living as a Christian here. Paul's telling about a state of a man before he was born again. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But that what I hate, that I do. That's a mouthful. All he's saying is, everything I want to do that's good, I can't do it. And everything that's bad, I do. This doesn't sound like a righteous man. You can't use this is what you struggle with on an everyday basis. Yes, we struggle with sin, but we should not be falling to it all the time. We're its master then. But why is he writing this? Well, let's go on. Now, then it's no more I, verse 17, that does it, but sin that's dwelling in me. For I know that in me, and now he prefaces it, in my flesh, is no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, that's the evil that I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now Paul would be the greatest hypocrite in the world if this is him living in the spirit. Oh, I can't ever do what's good. Sin's dwelling in me. And then he says, let not sin be named once amongst you. What a hypocrite. This is not what Paul's saying. He's speaking of a man before the Spirit of God. All right? I find then a law
that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then he asks a question in Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, we're not wretched in Christ. We're wretched when we're in this spot. Who shall deliver me? So this is not, he does not want to be here. We should not want to be here in this fight all the time. Up one day in a roller coaster ride, down the next day in sin. Up in God, down in sin. Back to this, back to the alcohol, back to this, back to here, back to God. It's a vicious cycle, guys. Live in Christ and you can be free from this. Who shall deliver me from this? And then verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Who shall deliver me? Christ will deliver us from this predicament. I'm going to quote James 3:8. It says, no tongue that no man can tame. Right? This is the prophecy, in a sense, of the Holy Ghost. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We bless God, even the Father, and this is what we do. Then we also curse men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Romans 7 is not where you ought to be living. Constantly fighting, I want to do this, but then I do that, and make excuses for sin. Don't make excuses for sin. You can overcome sin through Christ. You can. You can defeat it by his strength and blood and power. These things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And the tree is known by its fruit. Good tree brings forth good fruit. And an evil tree brings forth evil fruit. You cannot serve two masters or God and mammon. You can't serve money and God. It's very deep. It's very pointed. This is not how it should be, what James is writing. Living this way, living that way, living this way, in and out, roller coaster ride with God. Now, I'm not saying Rome's built overnight. It takes time. That's why I keep going, continue. If you're struggling with something, he can help you overcome. Right? And everybody goes through their seasons and valleys. Don't get me wrong. But know this. If you just know anything about this, you can be free from this in your mind and in your heart. When the Son makes free is free indeed, this is what I think he's talking about. We go to Romans 8. Oh, God, thank you for Romans 8. Amen? There is therefore now. Now something's different. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We're not in Romans 7. I'm telling you guys, when I'm in prayer, Jodan, you tell me, when you're in prayer and you're truly giving your heart to God and you're on your knees and you're calling on his name and you're in his word and you're reading it and you get revelation or just something ministers to you, when you get out of that place, do you right away want to run and kill somebody? Do you want to all of a sudden say, I think I'm going to go looking for pornography today? No. You think that works? No, when you're in God and in Christ, it's actually hard to sin. Because he makes a way. He doesn't bring condemnation. You're walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is where you're going to get this mind of a servant to be truly free. Thank you, Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Here's true freedom. I'm free from the law of sin and death. He that is born of God cannot sin because his seed remains in him. I know. I'm sorry. His seed remains in him. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're struggling with sin and addictions, you've got to walk in the Spirit. There is no magical formula to overcoming sin, but other than walking in the Spirit, calling on His name. I'm a debtor to call on His name. You know why? What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits towards me? I shall take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's all it takes. Call on His name. That's what I'm going to give to Him for all His works towards me. And when you do that again, daily basis, I die daily, I die daily, I die daily. You're going to see sin be put under your feet and sin put under your feet. And the things you thought you could not overcome, you will overcome to the point where I am purpose, David says, that when you come to me, you will find nothing. You will find no sin. The Bible even says the Lord's going to look for sin in His people and He's going to find none. That's what the church is for, to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus till we all come to the unity of the faith. Woo! Praise God. This is where He's taking the church. You don't have to live in sin any longer. Power's going to be given. All the people will be willing in the day of His power. For to be carnally minded is death. If you have carnally mind where you think freedom is all about this, you're in death. Those that are void of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. I'm telling you, this is not freedom. Freedom is up here. Amen? Can anyone say, I'll do what Jonah usually does? Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know what else cannot please God in? They that have no faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I love that song today. Do it again. I know you're going to do it again. I have faith in you, Lord, that you'll perfect that which concerns me. I have faith, oh Lord, that you're going to do it again. Do it, Carolyn, do what He's famous for. He's famous for delivering His people. Why can't He deliver me out of my sin? He can and He will. That's the faith that I have in Him. Sin shall not have dominion over me. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, this is not free to do whatever it wants. You've got to be nailed to your own cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. When you're nailed, you can't go where you want to go anymore. You can't walk where you want to walk anymore. You are bound to what the cross is. And the Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know what that word mortify means? Kill. Kill the deeds of your flesh. The body is dead, right? Because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness and freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. He proclaimed liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound. This is here in the mind. When He went to preach to the spirits in prison, this is what's going on. He shall also quicken your mortal bodies if that Spirit's in you by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Verse 12. Do you realize that you are a debtor to the Lord? We are debtors. Not to live to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There is truth to that. Accountability. Someone has to make us accountable. And because he has an accountability of to the church, he even comes when he's sick. And I believe that by God's grace and mercy, because you made a commitment to come, maybe you even feel better already. Praise God. Praise God. Great. Well, and that was all done because of your commitment to come and serve. Amen? I don't come to church to tell everybody I'm holy. I come to church to serve and to feel God. One last scripture and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 9:17. Sarah, did I give you that one? I don't think I did. I didn't. I'll quote it to you. For if I do this thing, what thing is that? It's the preaching. Paul saying, if I do this thing, this preaching, willingly, meaning I really want to do it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of preachers that preach for their own praise and their own gain. I'm telling you right now. They're hirelings. There's a lot of hirelings out there in the world. And if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, and they're going to get their reward. They're going to get the praise of men. But if I do this thing against my will, it's a dispensation of the gospel has been committed to me. And that's where it all comes down to. I'm a servant. I'm not up here because this is what I wanted to do. I'm up here because I'm woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Right? Jesus, I hope you kind of learned what freedom is a little bit today. We're debtors. Live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Thank you.